Joining us over the phone today is Patrick Schmidt, author of Wyoming-Football.com, as we talk some high school football 2 weeks from today, 0 week. Patrick, good morning. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty darn well. We're glad to have you on this morning, and we couldn't have picked a better week, actually. I know I was trying to wrangle you last week, but now that it's worked out this week, we can look at your 2A West preview from last week, and then also at your website, you've just put out your thoughts on the 3A class as well. That one was just yesterday, and our entire listening area is the 2A, 3A classifications, and so it feels like we caught you on the right week.
Yeah, well, I'm ready. I can't wait to talk about the season. I'm just glad we're having a season.
Yeah, let's talk about the 2A, the 2A West realignment first, because a lot of our listening audience, Coatesville, Kemmer, Mountain View, Lyman, they man, it just seems like that thing is just wide open with a lot of new faces on the in that conference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they got of course Coatesville coming up from the 1A ranks, and they're going to play 11 men, and I think they're going to be, you know, it's Coatesville. They're going to be an immediate impact kind of team, and no one's going to take them lightly. And then they've got Thermopolis coming over from the east, moving from the east to the west. And Thermopolis is going to be, they're going to be tough. They're going to be really tough. And they were semifinalists last year, and having them in that conference, it's really going to be, I mentioned it in my preview, I think there's going to be a lot of parity. It's going to be one of those conferences that anyone can beat anyone any particular week. And it's a lot of fun to start a conference that way or start a season that way.
You know, Patrick, you mentioned this in your preview. Mountain View, of course, has kind of ruled the West over the last couple of years. And, you know, until you dethrone the king will be king, right? But Mountain View did graduate kind of a stud star class. And when you look at Bighorn coming up from 1A, you know, that's an interesting mix when you have a team like Bighorn that has everybody, and Mountain View, and it's just walk us through your thought process there, because I know you picked Bighorn and Mountain View to kind of go for it at the end.
Well, I think Bighorn is a team that's really scary. I mean, they've won a couple championships in a row, and they've just dominated 1A. I mean, it wasn't even close, and you can ask Coatesville about that, and in those championship games, Coatesville had really, really good teams, and they couldn't.
I'd rather not ask him, muster. Patrick. I'd rather not bring that up.
yeah. And they've got just a bevy of guys back again. They've got, five All-State guys, four All-State guys coming back. It's a number that no one else can touch. And so them moving up, they're not going to have any problem adjusting. Bighorn's not. And then Mountain View, of course, it's when I talk to Brent Walk over the summer, he talked about losing that great senior class that Mountain View had, but the guys coming up were, had paid their dues and had put in the time in the weight room, and Mountain View has become one of those schools and one of those programs that just year in and year out, you know, they're going to be there. There's no off days, no off years for that program, and I think we're kind of seeing that. I think you will see that this year, even though they lost that big senior class. They're going to be solid again, and that's the mark of a really good program.
You know, another team right there in the Bridger Valley that last year at this time, nobody was expecting much out of them, at least in terms of the win-loss, and I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just they were kind of thought it was going to be a bit of a rebuilding year, but the Lyman Eagles won more games last year than I think people were predicting at the beginning of the year. Do you think that is kind of a springboard into this year? Or do you think that was a bit of an anomaly?
You know, I hope it's a springboard. I when I put together my rankings, I had Lyman just outside the playoff race. But again, when I look at that 2A West, you know, I've got Lyman in sixth right now, but I really think Lyman could be anywhere from first to seventh. I think all the other teams in that group kind of fit the same mold. But what I like about Lyman was they really did you know, I think they kind of took it personally that everyone was overlooking them, including me. Like, I overlooked them last year, and that they just kind of took that to heart and just went out and beat people. And I think there's still, again, some rebuilding that's got to happen there this year. But I'm hopeful for them. I was really impressed with what they did last year, and they've got some guys back.
We're again with Patrick Schmidt this morning, author of Wyoming-Football.com, and he's released his 2A and 3A previews for the upcoming football season, which 0 week is 2 weeks from today. You know, one of the things I like, Patrick, about your previews that you do is you have your four players to watch in each classification, and I couldn't help but notice that three of the four in 2A are from the West, and when I look down this list, I see Nate Barnes from Cokeville. And, boy, you cannot, when you are playing the Panthers and you're game planning, you've got to know where Nate Barnes is all the time. 151 total tackles last year as a junior. That is insane.
Yeah, and there was, like I say, there was only one guy who had more tackles in the entire state than Nate Barnes, and Nate Barnes did it as a junior. I mean, it's unreal what he was able to get done last year. And if Cokeville is able to make this transition smoothly, it's really going to be on his shoulders. There's going to be other guys around him, but he is the focus. He is the centerpiece, and it's both offense and defense. And you know, normally with Cokeville, it's kind of weird because that's not uncommon. They get guys who start as sophomores and juniors and seniors, and they're able to get that varsity speed really, really young. And Nate's one of those guys. He was able to play really young, able to develop really fast, and sky's the limit for what he's going to be able to do this year.
Going to be a lot of fun to see how that 2A West shakes out. Let's transition to the 3A class. Your preview just came out yesterday, and of course, Star Valley, right in the middle of our listening audience, they've had a tremendous run of success the last handful of years. And you have them continuing that on in your way too early title game score. I love how you title things. You and I are both big Simpsons fans too. So in the past, there used to be some nods to that too. But way too early title game score prediction. You have the Braves edging Powell early on. But what are your initial thoughts on the 3A class coming into this year?
Well, I mean, everyone's chasing Star Valley, and that's been the case for a few years now, right? Everyone's chasing Star Valley, and it does feel like if there's going to be a year where somebody's going to rise up and maybe try to take it from Star Valley, it's going to be this year because of that great, fantastic senior class that Star Valley had last year. But then I was thinking when I was doing my preseason rankings, I really wasn't too sure. I was like, maybe Star Valley fourth, maybe fifth. And then I talked with McKay Young, you know, the coach at Star Valley there, and he just walked me through all the things they do as a program to get ready and all the things they've done and all the things they will continue to do. And it's like, I mean, this guy knows coaching. He knows his kids. He knows what needs to get done. And I walked away from that interview, my head just swimming with the possibilities for Star Valley this year. And pretty much at that moment, I'm like, they're still the team to beat. You know, they lost a great class, but, you know, and I've never been shy to not rank the defending champ first. You know, if I don't think the defending champ is going to win, I don't rank them first. But I think Star Valley still has what it takes, and it's not just a group of kids or talent or anything like that. It's a program, and that's what everyone else in 3A is trying to be, and that's what Star Valley has.
Well, we may be biased, but we agree with you 182%, Patrick, on everything you just said.
We've heard Coach Young give a commencement speech, and when he got done, we're like, yeah, let's go graduate.
I would love to put on a helmet again, and play for him. That'd be fantastic. I mean, there's a handful of coaches out there like that, and he's definitely one of them. And the way that the program is built, I think, really signifies and says a lot about, you know, him and the community.
Here's one of the things I love about Coach Young is we've been able to watch him over the last 6-7 years. Is the way that he plays, the way that he schemes a season. as a play caller. And we've noticed this, Dal and I will notice this in the preseason games. They have their bread and butter play that Dal references it to. But as you watch Coach Young, as the season progresses, he will throw in wrinkles on these plays, and they'll be executed to perfection, and then the defense will be ready for it, and then all of a sudden it's the same play, but not. And it's just great. But here's what I think about Star Valley, and you touched on this. I think every senior in the class last year was on the football team, is what it felt like. They graduated 25, Dal. Is that how many?
There were 13 All-State kids.
It was
just, you coined a class for the ages, Patrick. I would totally agree with that.
So when we look at this though, Patrick, and you had him as one of your four players to watch. Brent Nelson comes back as quarterback, as his third year as a starter now. When he came in as a sophomore, Coach Young said he was Mr. Moxie, and he's proven that. He has yet to lose a start. Brent Nelson does. The Braves have been undefeated ever since he went under center as the starter. So when you have someone like that, I don't think it matters how many kids you graduated last year. When you can build your team around a senior quarterback that's played for 2 years, you got to have high expectations regardless.
Well, yeah, and what's amazing is that he's just so efficient. And when you look at, I had it in my preview, completed 71% of his passes. High school kids don't do that, you know? I mean, high school football and high school quarterbacks, if you're completing 55 to 58% of your passes, you're really in good shape. And he's completing 71. I mean, who does that? And the fact that he's done it and did it, you know, as a junior and then was also, you know, had that experience as a sophomore. And you mentioned it, you're going to be able to kind of lean on him early goings to get everyone else up to speed. And I think that's the real key, is that it's going to help bring along kids who maybe wouldn't come along as fast with a different guy or a guy who had less experience.
And, you know, one other thing I would mention, Patrick, you look at the 3A class, and of course you're talking about, you know, and you mentioned the 2A class as well with Coach Walk, but these programs that have things rolling and they've had this, an established coaching tree, there's a lot of new coaches in 3A this year. And so that's definitely one of the big factors.
Yeah, well, and I was actually looking at this. I'm preparing a post to put on my website sooner or later, but there's only 7 new coaches in the entire state, which is a really, really low number. It's a really small number, but 4 of those 7 are in 3A.
Wow.
And I don't fully understand why, but 3A, there's been a lot of turnover, and it's going to change things up a bit. And I think Powell went to a championship game, lost its coach, but there's going to be some stability there. I think Green River, I think they're just, their new coach is tearing things up. You know, he's putting in a new subfloor. I mean, that's how far he's going. He's really just completely taking that program and reimagining it. And then over in the East, you got new coaches in Riverton and Warland. And I think, Riverton's just been a growing, you know, they really grew a lot last year. So I'm excited to see what they can do. And then Warland is just kind of hanging around, and you can never count them out. But it's of those 4, I mean, I really think Green River is the one where you're going to see the most change and the most differences.
Patrick Schmidt from Wyoming-Football.com, again, joining us this morning during First Bank Sports Friday. Well, Patrick, we certainly appreciate your time. While we have you, I did want to ask you about this blog post, because you had a chance to speak with Ron Laird, the director of the Wyoming High School Activities Association, just a few days after Dal and I did, but it was after the Mountain West had made their decision to postpone all fall sports. And so you were able to get Mr. Laird on the phone and ask him about the state's plans and if that affected how the high school sports were going to be played, and it sounds like that they weren't paying attention to the Mountain West at all, that they're just going to continue as planned.
Yeah, I think that the Mountain West's moves, they're going to have absolutely no effect on the high schools, aside from one of the things that Ron Laird and I had talked about in a previous conversation was whether the championships were going to be at the university or not. And he said, well, if the university doesn't have football, it's tough to have the championships at their stadium. And that's changed, obviously, but that was before the Mountain West decision to postpone their fall sports. So I really do think what it's going to take for fall sports to be postponed is actions from health departments. You know, county and state health departments are going to have to step in. You know, Ron Layard's not going to come in and cancel the sports. It's going to have to be from those county and state health departments. That's where those decisions are going to come from, because, you know, Ron Layard's going to do everything he can to fight for having sports. That's why they hire him every year to be the commissioner, is to fight that kind of fight. And so far, one of the good takeaways that I had in my conversation with him was that he's been in touch with the people at the state health department, and they have that good working relationship. So there's open lines of communication, and that's a good thing if we want sports to keep on going in the fall.
Patrick Schmidt, you can find his blog and other information at wyoming-football.com, wyoming-football.com. Patrick, as always, it's a pleasure. Appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining us.